This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It's been a good week. Things are a little frantic at the moment. But that's only because, well, first things first, I have to find my glasses. Oh, come on. What did I do with my glasses? Hey, there they are. Okay, great. Good. Okay, because Thursdays have turned into a little bit interesting for me, especially on the Thursday when I'm supposed to swing by and help set up video for the church, because we have our small groups now on Thursday night, which means at 6:30, and that's at 6:30. I don't get off work till 4:30. Usually I help a little bit at home to get ready for the small groups, which means that I really need to be home by 5:30, which doesn't give me much time to set up video. And today, apparently, Lynette needed to make some green beans for something going on at church. And she didn't have time to actually run them in, so I ran home, brought the green beans back in. So by the time I hit the church, it was, you know, 4:50-ish, so almost 5. So I gave them a few minutes of video, and now I'm going home because it's 5:15. So anyways, but it'll all work out. It'll be fine. And we get to have small groups tonight, which is good. I'm really got a good group of people that we get together with and talk about the things of the Lord. I probably mentioned this, but the way the small groups are set up is the first Sunday of the month, or the first week of the month, is just fellowship, which we did that last week. And then weeks 2 and 4, there's actually a little video teaching and a little song and questions to go through. And then week 3 is when all the small group leaders get together and discuss how things are going with their small groups. And then if there is a week 5, then it's men and women split up and we go figure out something to do ourselves. So all is well. So this will be a teaching week. And those are always interesting. We have nice discussions. It's very good. So, got to run home. Got to clean off the leaves from the walkway. Do some spot cleaning, whatever net needs done. And then we'll be ready to go at 6:30. Writing is going well. I've been able to keep up, which is good, with the writing, even with the small groups basically taking over Thursday night. But I've been able to keep up with the writing. I kept up with the writing all through COVID. So this is the last week for this first writing sprint. There was only 6 weeks in this writing sprint because I like to start working on the production version of whatever the current book is in beta on November the 15th as opposed to December the 1st, so that I will have it finished by December the 15th. Fire truck going by. So that I can have a couple of weeks off for Christmas. Not that I actually take a couple of weeks off for Christmas, but you know, it's the idea. However, I had gotten started a week early, so whereas the target is 60,000 words, I think we'll end up at 70,000 words for this first writing sprint for book 16, which is good. This is the last book in the second set of 8. I think I know where I'm going. I think I know all the things that need to happen. I think it'll be fine. So that's good. It'll be good to have the first 2 sets of 8 done. And then it's just 8 more books and we're on the downhill slope. So anyways, all is well there with the writing. All is well with work. We're getting ready to do a big deploy on Monday, but everything seems to be ready for it. And it's a bunch of new stuff. So it shouldn't really impact anything that already exists. So I think we'll be fine. Although, I didn't do that. I was just going to just double check on something, and I didn't do it today. I should have. Maybe I'll hop on tomorrow and just double check real quick. Let's see. Writing costumes. Costumes are fun. I think I'm doing a costume for New Year's. Last year it was the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, because everything was such up in the air. You know, the idea was, so who knows what 21 is going to bring? 2021, maybe it's going to be all sweetness like marshmallows, and maybe it'll be the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters. So, and I had done that and it was fine. I didn't, you know, have any interest really in doing that again, and so I got to thinking around, and I'm just gonna do hey, it's New Year, spring is coming, because about that time it'll probably be cold and ugly, and you know, just need a lot of flowers, so hopefully that'll cheer people up a little bit. But I'm working on that now, kind of doing the investigations, figuring out what we're doing as far as costume goes. I think I've got, in my mind at least, I've got it roughed in, and my wife agrees that it will be cute, which is good. That's kind of the point. Tomorrow is World Kindness Day, and so I had done that last year, World Kindness Day, and so it will be Drag Queen B Says Be Kind. So I had done that last year because I had looked the months ahead and realized that World Kindness Day was going to be the week after the presidential election, and I thought, it's going to be crazy no matter what happens. And it was, and we didn't actually have a president elected yet, and World Kindness Day was just a way just to present an extremely bizarre image to people, and then make a little pun and hopefully make them laugh. So that's coming up again tomorrow. So that'll be fun. And then after the week after that is National Absurdity Day, which is fun. And then the week after that is Black Friday, which is Christmas is coming, which is a little bit kind of like an elf costume. And then the week after that, I think, is International Day of the Ninja. That's fun. And then it's World Monkey Day. So, and then it's Ugly Christmas Sweater Day, which is when I do the tribute to A Christmas Story, complete with leg lamp. And then it's Elf Day, and then we're New Year's. So I don't have too many more weeks left over before we get to New Year's. But, you know, I think there's enough time in there. I've already put out feelers, and I've already kind of got things roughed in, so I think it'll be fine. As far as today goes, I'm trying to remember what my topic was. I had printed out some notes, but it's getting dark now. So this was kind of an interesting idea. I'll just kind of recap it, because I think it's A, an interesting idea. I think B, it doesn't really get to the heart of the matter. And I think C, the solution that he proposes is completely unworkable. So the name of the article was People Aren't Meant to Talk This Much. And the gist of it was, you know, people are trying to figure out what's going on in our society. And they're trying to figure out, what do we do to improve it? Because everybody recognizes and agrees that things are not good right now. We are highly polarized. We are highly tribalized. There is very little grace, at least at the opposite ends of the spectrum. Now, it's been my experience that there is a vast middle that is looking at all the haranguing and shouting and shaking their fists, and they're thinking, this is not good. We need to be nicer to each other. That is the vast middle that I have encountered every week with costumes. When I am in costume and I'm interacting with people, there is extremely little political tribalism, any of that kind of stuff. We are simply having moments human to human. So my experience with people has been that all that haranguing and all that shaking of fists and all that stuff that is going on really is confined out to the extremes somewhere out there. And I have found that the average person that I would encounter at Walmart when I am in costume and greeting people, that those people are kind and they're generous and they're interested in smiling and they're interested in having a moment with me where we can just be humans with each other. But obviously, there is a great deal of noise the other direction. That's very tribal. And one of the things the guy in this article is trying to purport is that we weren't meant to have as many conversations as we are having, and we weren't meant to have those conversations in the context of weak emotional links. That deep conversations, that long conversations prior to the internet, prior to social media, were done with friends and family, and they could be done in a context where there was some form of relationship. And now with the advent of the internet and social media, our sphere of influence is greatly expanded, and it's far beyond anything that we really have the capacity to manage. He says in the article that we have the ability at maximum to be able to handle about 150 relationships, and even real deep relationships, the number is much smaller than that. So the idea that, for instance, I have nearly 1,500 friends on Facebook, it's ridiculous, really, for me to call them friends. They're at best acquaintances, and at worst, they're just somebody that I'm connected with who, I'm getting my mail, you know, who happens to look at my feeds occasionally. I mean, that's really all it is. The difficulty there is that if you have all these weak links and then you put in an environment where you're trying to have conversations across these weak links, and specifically you are in an environment where not only are you trying to have conversations off of these weak links, but the conversations that you are being prompted to have are conversations that are quote unquote engaging. And in fact, what that's a code word for is that there are emotive, that you are saying things that are getting people stirred up, that they're getting people to respond to, and you are rewarded for saying things that are going to get more response, more likes, more comments. You're rewarded for those things. And so you have, within the context of a weak emotional link, you have inflammatory stuff being said, and then it just turns into a firestorm. And I make it a purpose and a practice not to ever respond to anything like that on social media. I basically congratulate people on social media. I wish them a happy birthday. I wish them a happy anniversary. That's it. Those are the only comments I make. Consequently, my feed is filled with things that people can be congratulated for and things that they can be wished happy birthday or happy anniversary for. And that's it. So the author of this article, his viewpoint is that maybe we're just talking too much and we were never meant for this. We're not built for this. And so what we really need to do potentially is just to cut down the amount of conversations that it's possible to have online using technology. And that will help. And A, that's completely unworkable because all of those conversations drive all the advertising. And there is no way that these giant platforms are going to allow their advertising to be undercut. So that's not going to work. But plus, I think it ignores the real problem. And the real problem is not that we're having too many conversations. It's the kind of conversations that we're having. And we are having conversations that are generated in large part by the flesh. And that's the real problem. And so unless you can educate people on how to be kinder and loving and more gentle, unless you can educate them on all of that, you can try to put restrictions on them all day long, and it's just not going to make any difference. Because they will find ways to get around your rules, to be inflammatory, to cause additional problems, because it's flesh. And flesh is maximally destructive, and it is maximally frustrating. So it's going to be really interesting to see what the upshot of all of this is and what, you know, ends up happening. You know, because where we are heading is not good. But my encouragement with all of this is the fact that I do dress up in crazy, ridiculous costumes every week, and I do go to Walmart, and I do go have breakfast with people. And all of those things cause me to encounter, people in a human way. And I find over and over that there's a whole lot of people out there that just want to have real human interactions where we can be kind to each other. And people respond to that. And for that, I am blessed. I turned 63 last week. I was in Walmart on Sunday. I was talking to a friend in there who had turned 59 several weeks ago, and she was a little disturbed about it. And I just keep telling her, but think of everything you've learned in these 49 years. Think of how good you are with people now. And she was like, oh, that's right. So I had mentioned to her I'd turned 63. So she said, what do you think about 63? I said, 63 is great. It's fabulous. I said, I got to tell you, if someone had told me 5 years ago that I was going to be dressing up in costume every week and going to Walmart, I would have told them they were crazy. Especially with some of the costumes I've been wearing. I said, but it has opened the door for me to bring smiles in people's lives and bring joy into people's life. And I am rich because of this. It's an extraordinary thing that has opened up in my life that allows me to have encounters with perfect strangers and bring a bit of light and joy into their life. That's amazing. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.